Peace be with you. Friends, we have a great privilege today because the story the church offers to us for our reflection is one of the greatest stories ever told. St. Luke was a great literary artist as well as being a great spiritual teacher. Throughout his Gospels, we have these terrific little vignettes, tales, short stories, dramas, beautifully constructed. But the greatest of them, the best of them, is at the very end of the Gospel of Luke, the story of Jesus and the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. It's got everything you look for in a short story, in a gripping drama. It has pathos, suspense, interesting characters, a surprise ending. But it's much more than just a vivid drama. It's also a story which is spoken to Christians across the two millennia because it speaks to us about the church, about who we are, and about how we come into contact with Jesus Christ. And this is why, over the centuries, it's inspired so many artists and poets and playwrights and painters. There's something gripping about this story because we know it's right at the heart of who we are and what the church is. You know, last week, as we reflected on that wonderful story of doubting Thomas, we saw something about what makes Jesus visible. How do we see him? We see him precisely in the community of the church. Well, there's something similar going on here, too. The story is about how Jesus becomes visible to his people. Let's start at the very beginning. That very day, Luke tells us, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. You know, where people are going in the Gospels is always important. In the middle of Mark's Gospel, Jesus cures Bartimaeus, the blind man. And then it says, and Bartimaeus followed him up the road. Well, of course, the road is the road to Jerusalem, the road to the cross, to the Paschal mystery. And Bartimaeus, now that his sight has been restored, knows where to go. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the path to walk. I'm the gate. I'm the way in. All these metaphors of journeying and walking are meant to signal the right spiritual path. So, where are these two disciples of Jesus going? Precisely in the wrong direction. In Luke's gospel, the momentum is always toward Jerusalem. That means the cross, that means the Paschal mystery, it means the resurrection. That's where it happens, in Jerusalem. All along the way, people tell Jesus, don't go there. But he sets his face to Jerusalem. So here are these two disciples, in the wake of the crucifixion, are walking away from where it's happening. They are a metaphor here, it's beautiful, I think, for the wayward church. Yes, disciples of Jesus, those who want to follow Jesus, those who were with him, who said even, yes, I'll give my life for you, but who at the moment of truth, at the decisive moment, end up walking the wrong way. Look, Christians, fellow sinners, it's all of us. We're meant to identify with these two characters who love the Lord. We want to be his disciple, but we also are afraid of the cross and its implications. Then Luke says, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Two great truths being communicated here. First of all, as long as we're walking in the wrong direction, we won't see him. As long as we've moved away from the Paschal mystery, we won't see him. We'll be blind. Just as last week we saw Thomas, as long as he was outside of the apostolic community, would not see the Lord. So here, when you're walking the wrong way, you'll be blind to him. But, there's good news. Nevertheless, Jesus walks with them. Even when we run away, he runs after. even as we walk in the wrong direction, he walks side by side with us. Christians, this is a basic claim of the whole biblical tradition. God is not simply out there waiting for us to come to him. But the true God is always after us. Yes, he seems even to have a special affection for those who are wandering in the wrong direction. I've come not for the healthy, but I've come for the sick. Here he comes tracking down us, all of us, who are walking in the wrong direction. I love this fact. I think it's true in the Christian spiritual life. God starts with us where we are. He doesn't make all kinds of demands. Until you get to this place, I won't deal with you. No, no. He comes out to get us where we are, even as we're fleeing from him. Then we have this kind of deliciously ironic literary trick of St. Luke's. They're talking away, and Jesus himself comes up and says, "What are you talking about?" And they turn on him and say, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what went on here?" It's almost as though someone on September the 12th, 2001, would come up to two people who were talking animatedly and say, "Well, what are you two talking about?" And they would say, "Well, are you the only person in the country who doesn't know what happened yesterday? These momentous events." Jesus says, well, what things? Tell me. Then they tell him the facts. I think in many ways this is the hinge of the story. These two disciples know all the facts about Jesus. You know, just the facts, ma'am. Remember from Dragnet. They know the facts about him. Listen as they tell him. Well, about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in deed and word before God and all the people. Our chief priests and rulers handed him over. They crucified him. We were hoping he would be the Savior of Israel. And now, the third day since these things took place, some women from our group have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and didn't find his body. They came back and reported they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced he was alive. They got all the facts. If you were to ask almost anybody in present-day America, who is Jesus of Nazareth? What do you know about him? I would wager almost everybody would be able to say pretty much this. Oh yeah, I know Jesus of Nazareth. He was a great prophet, powerful in word and deed. He was crucified. And then some people claim he was risen from the dead. These are the facts. Everyone knows this. But what's missing? What's missing? They see the facts, but they don't get it. They see all the pieces of the puzzle, but they don't see how they fit together. Do you ever know someone who is terrifically attentive? They see what's going on, but they're not perceptive. They don't get it. Think of someone with a huge jigsaw puzzle in front of them. All 2,000 pieces are there before their eyes. In a certain way, you say, well, yeah, I see the whole picture, but I haven't fit it together. What makes it fit together? What's the interpretive key? What makes the light go on? Listen to what the Lord says. Oh, how foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophet spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and so enter into his glory? How do we get it? Christians, listen, we get it only when we relate everything in Jesus' life to his dying and his rising. Don't you see that everything he said, everything he did, don't you see how his cross, all of it made sense in light of this passage through suffering to life? That is the key for understanding Jesus of Nazareth. If you don't see that, you don't see him, even as you see everything about him. These two disciples are like most of us, who refuse to accept the implications of the Paschal mystery. Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. Jesus opens up the Bible and tells them, here's what it's about, here's what it means. So impressed, so moved by this, they say, can't you stay with us? And so he comes in to sup with them. He sits down at table. He takes bread and he breaks it. And in that most characteristic act, gathering his friends around him and breaking the bread, what he did throughout his life, what he did the night before he died, in that great act, they see him. What's being communicated here? We see the Lord Jesus Christ when we allow him to interpret his life. We see the Lord Jesus Christ when we allow him to break open the bread. It is in the Word and in the Eucharist that we come to see him. What's being communicated here is the liturgy. It's the Mass. How does the Mass begin? We begin by acknowledging our failure, our sin. We say, Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison. Though we've gathered in his name as his disciples, we acknowledge the fact that we are often walking in the wrong direction. The Mass opens up with an acknowledgement of sin. Lord, I know I'm like these two disciples. I want to follow you. But so often I'm wandering away. And then what? Then what? The two great parts of the liturgy, the Word and the Eucharist. We allow Christ to open up the Scriptures. We read from the prophets. We read from Paul. We read from the Psalms. And Jesus himself, in our midst, interprets them for us. And then we do what Jesus did throughout his life and the night before he died. We gather around the table with him, and he breaks open the bread. And in that act, we see him, just as these two disciples saw him. This story of Jesus on the road to Emmaus is all about the liturgy, coming to see. Now, I love how it ends, and I'll conclude with this. Jesus vanishes from their sight, and then they say, were not our hearts burning within us as he opened the scriptures on the way? They were beginning to get it. And then they race back to Jerusalem. The story opened with their going in the wrong direction, away from Jerusalem, away from the cross, away from the Paschal mystery. Now that Jesus has revealed himself to them, they are sent back. I've often said there's no appearance of Jesus in the New Testament which is not accompanied by a commission. Even though it's late, even though it's probably night, even though there are bandits and dangers on the road, they make their way back to Jerusalem. This is the movement of all the saints. Having seen the Lord, now they want to announce. And they come to the gathered 11 and say, we've seen the Lord. Christians, at the end of the liturgy, once he's opened the Word, once he's broken the bread for us, he then sends us. Go. The Mass has ended. Now you go to love and to serve the Lord. Go back to Jerusalem. Go back and announce with every word, with every gesture, with your whole life, announce the risen Christ. Read this story as the rhythm of the Christian spiritual life. God bless.